Let me tell you, my brothers, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor did anyone teach it to me. It was Jesus Christ himself who revealed it to me. You have been told how I used to live when I was devoted to the Jewish religion, how I persecuted without mercy the Church of God and did my best to destroy it. I was ahead of most of my fellow Jews of my age in my practice of the Jewish religion and was much more devoted to the traditions of our ancestors. But God in his grace chose me even before I was born and called me to serve him. And when he decided to reveal his son to me so that I might preach the good news about him to the Gentiles, I did not go to anyone for advice, nor did I go to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before me. Instead, I went at once to Arabia, and then I returned to Damascus. It was 3 years later that I went to Jerusalem to obtain information from Peter, and I stayed with him for 2 weeks. I did not see any other apostle except James, the Lord's brother. What I write is true. God knows that I am not lying. Afterwards, I went to places in Syria and Cilicia. At that time, the members of the churches in Judea did not know me personally. They knew only what others were saying. The man who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And so they praise God because of me. And verse 18 of chapter 2. If I start to rebuild the system of law that I tore down, then I show myself to be someone who breaks the law. So far as the law is concerned, however, I am dead, killed by the law itself, in order that I might live for God. I have been put to death with Christ on his cross, so that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. This life that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me. I refuse to reject the grace of God. But if a person is put right with God through the law, it means that Christ died for nothing.
Thank you, Irene, for bringing us our reading. Let us pray. God of life, thank you so much that it is no longer we who live, but it is Christ who lives in us, such that the life that we live now, we live by faith in the Son of God who loves us and gave his life for us. By the enabling power of your Holy Spirit, be with me in my speaking and with us all in our hearing and responding. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm guessing some of you were wondering how I was going to be preaching this morning. Well, here I am. I hope it's working. If it doesn't, then Marie will have to take the sermon. However, she needs to leave early to go to the airport to pick me up. I'm at the moment all going to plan, maybe somewhere above Wellington at the moment. So she'll probably pass it on to Murray. Years ago, I read a fascinating article in the National Geographic magazine about the Appalachian Trail. It's a hiking trail in the US that runs for 3,000 kilometers through 14 states from Maine to Georgia. It's said that the holy grail of the trail was to be a through hiker, someone who does the whole thing in one go. I said to Marie, I want to be a through hiker. She said the rubbish needed to go out. Anyway, one of these through hikers said he was doing it in order to find himself. He wanted to figure out who he was. A while later, they tracked him down, but this time he was going in the opposite direction. He said that when he got to the end, he still hadn't found himself. So he turned around to keep looking. Who am I? Who is the real me? Who is the real you? Finding a satisfying answer to this question, one that really does satisfy us, heart, soul, mind, and strength, is the central task of our human existence. Now, the reason I have chosen this reading from Galatians is because I think it gives us an important insight into the way the Bible answers this question. The background context to this, what Paul is saying here, is that the church or the group of churches that he is writing to is comprised largely of Gentile, that is, non-Jewish Christians. They'd been progressing happily enough until a group of Jewish Christians came and told them that in order to be genuinely Christian, they needed to observe all the laws from the Old Testament, in particular circumcision for males, Sabbath keeping, and the food purity laws. However, their obeying these laws would effectively mean becoming cultural Jews and in this way sacrificing their own cultural identity, something that would alienate them from their Gentile families and friends and neighbours. Nevertheless, out of a misguided sense of faithfulness to God, this is precisely what they had begun to do. But when Paul discovers this, and we should note that he was probably the missionary who established these churches in Galatia, and so he knew and loved these people at a deeply personal level. When Paul discovers this, he's incensed. He's so angry that these Judaizers, as they're often called, have come in, have discredited him as a second-rate apostle, and then have wormed their way into the trust of these people so as to get them to believe all this stuff. For Paul, what is at stake in this is the integrity of the gospel, the all-sufficiency of faith in Jesus Christ, and the freedom from religious rule-keeping, the freedom that we have from all this in Jesus Christ. Around the middle of 2005, I learned a powerful lesson concerning the interface between cultural identity and Christian faith. I'd just preached a sermon in Invercargill in which, almost as an aside, I had touched on the distinction between someone being a convert as opposed to being a proselyte. I'd said that a proselyte is someone who in becoming a follower of Jesus actually changes their whole cultural identity. And this is what we see in the New Testament, people saying that in order to become a Christian, you first have to become a cultural Jew. Whereas a convert is someone who in becoming a follower of Jesus retains their cultural identity, whether that be a Greek, a Jew, or an Ethiopian, or whatever. And when I'd finished, a Māori woman of about 60 years of age came up to me. She had tears streaming down her face. And she said to me, "All my life, people have told me that in order to be a Christian, I had to be a Pākehā. But now I realize that I can be a follower of Jesus and still be Māori. Who am I? Who is the real me? And who is the real you?" This really is the central question of our human existence. Now, in the key part of our reading here in Galatians, in chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, Paul uses the words "I" and "me" 9 times. On average, that's one word in every 8. Now, this is an extraordinary amount of me talk. Moreover, he uses these pronouns, I and me, in a very strange way. Nevertheless, I believe that it is precisely Paul's strange way of speaking about I and me that holds the answer to our question. Who is the real me? Listen carefully and see if you can spot this strange way that Paul speaks of I and me. This is Galatians chapter 2, starting in verse 19. So far as the law is concerned, however, I am dead, killed by the law itself in order that I might live for God. I have been put to death with Christ on his cross so that it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. This life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. What's going on here is that Paul is referring to two different I's, two different beings. The first is an I who has been put to death with Christ on his cross, someone that Paul is happy to be rid of. But the second I is a different being altogether, so different, in fact, that Paul can say it is no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. Now, Paul speaks of I and me in this strange way in a number of different places. For example, in Romans 7:20, he says, "Now, if I do what I don't want to do, I am no longer the one who does it. Instead, it is sin that is living in me." Again, Paul is speaking of two different I's. There is an I who genuinely wants to do the good and the right thing. This is the true Paul that God wants to redeem and uphold and affirm. But there is another being who we thoughtlessly also call I, who lives in contradiction to what our true I wants, a concealed being who masquerades as the real me, who bewilders and shames me by its actions, but who in truth is an imposter, whose true identity remains hidden. And it is precisely because this concealed being remains hidden and unrecognized that it is free to do all manner of perversity in my name and then sheet the blame back on me. But as Paul says, the true identity of this false imposter I is not the real me, but rather, he says, it is the sin that is living in me. It's actually very common for people to speak of themselves in this strange, disconnected from their true self way, and yet remain unaware of the profoundly important truth this feeling of inner alienation points to. For example, it's not uncommon for people to say, "I hate myself. I hate myself." Again, there are two different eyes here. There is myself, who is hated and blamed and shamed by another being who myself thoughtlessly calls I. But this is a being who hates and despises their true myself, an evil being who masquerades as the real them, but who is in truth an imposter, whose identity remains concealed. Paul says in Romans 7:12, the law itself is holy, and the commandment is holy, right, and good. But does this mean that what is good caused my death? By no means. It was sin that did it. By using what is good, sin brought death to me, in order that its true nature as sin might be revealed. And so, by means of the commandment, sin is shown to be even more terribly sinful. Sin brought death to me in order that its true nature as sin might be revealed. What an astonishing theological idea. It is precisely because this false imposter being within us, who fraudulently calls itself I, it's because this being remains concealed and unrecognized that it can take something good and holy like the law of God and my sincere Christian desire to want to obey it, and then to use it to inflict all manner of guilt and shame upon me, until in dutiful obedience to its relentless toxic logic, not only does I hate myself, but myself learns to hate myself as well. Yet it is God's purpose in Jesus to expose this fraudulent, false imposter I for what it truly is. And so this is why Paul can say with such joy in our reading, so far as the law is concerned, however, I am dead. Woohoo! Killed by the law itself in order that I might live for God. That's woohoo times two. I have been put to death with Christ on his cross so that it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. The true human Paul speaks of here is the I who lives by faith in the Son of God, and not the false, fraudulent I of sin, because as he says, that I is dead, crucified with Christ. And so what we need to understand Paul is saying here is that so far as the law is concerned, however, the fraudulent I of sin, the false I who isn't truly me, is dead, killed by the law itself, in order that the true me, who I truly am in Jesus Christ, might live for God. This evil eye of sin has been mastered by God, exposed for what it truly is, and its fraudulent claim upon me has been defeated, because it has been put to death with Christ on his cross, so that it is no longer this imposter I who seeks my destruction who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. Woohoo, and amen to that. Thinking this way also helps us understand what Jesus says, for example, in Mark 8:34, if any of you want to come with me, you must forget the old fraudulent eye of sin who has usurped and corrupted who you truly are in God, and carry your true eye in me on the cross and follow me. For if you want to save this false eye that has already been mastered by God, exposed for what it truly is and its fraudulent claim upon you defeated and all that it desires and represents, you will lose your true life in God. But if you lose this false eye of sin through faith in me, for me and for the gospel, you will save your true life in God and all that this desires and represents. Now, thinking about who we truly are in this way is, I believe, genuinely liberating. In Colossians 3:3, Paul tells us, you might like to turn there, just a few pages over from Galatians. In Colossians 3:3, Paul tells us, for you have died. Woohoo! You have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your real life is Christ. Your real life is Christ. And when he appears, then you too will appear with him and share his glory. Woohoo! Times two. What this means is that, in a sense, we actually have two lives. We have a life that looks like the real thing, but which isn't. And a life that is the real thing, but which we can't see yet. At least, not in all its fullness. We have the fraudulent life of sin that God has already exposed, judged, and condemned in the crucifixion of Jesus, that looks like the real thing, but which isn't. And we have our real life in Jesus Christ, the real life that God has raised to new life in the resurrection of Jesus, but which we can't see yet. Our life that looks like the real thing, but which isn't, is contained in these mortal bodies of ours, these bodies that we see every morning when we look in the mirror. My Auntie Jean tells a wicked joke about a woman standing in front of her mirror and complaining to her husband. Look at me, she says, my body's going to the dogs. Everything is wrinkly and saggy and droopy. I'm falling to pieces and nothing works properly anymore. To which she helpfully replies, but darling, that just isn't true. Your eyesight works perfectly. Now, if it is true for you that your life that looks like the real thing but which isn't is the only life that you think you have, then it is perfectly natural for you to be anxious and fearful concerning the prospect of old age and your inevitable death. But the truth is that your life that looks like the real thing actually isn't the real thing. The truth is that our real life is hidden in Jesus Christ. And that's why we can't see it yet. That is, we can't see it with our natural eyes as we look in the mirror. We can only see it through the eyes of faith as we look to the promise of God. As the Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians 3:3, your real life is Christ. And when he appears, then you too will appear with him and share his glory. In the Harry Potter stories, he who must not be named, desperately wants, as Jesus would say, to save his life. He tries to achieve this by splitting his soul into seven parts, seven Horcruxes, as the story calls them, and by hiding each Horcrux in a super safe place so that no one can find them and destroy them all, and in this way destroy him, and in this way destroy his evil influence in the world. But Harry and his friends, of course, managed to do this. Now, I know that Lord Voldemort isn't a very good Christian role model. But the thing is that his instinct was right. What is more precious than our lives? And what can a person give in exchange for their life? Knowing this, therefore, what makes more sense than trying to save or hide our lives in the safest place possible? Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your real life is Christ. And when he appears, then you too will appear with him and share his glory. Our Christian hope is that Jesus is the safest place possible to hold the thing that is most precious to us, our lives. How reckless and stupid, therefore, to try and hide your life in yourself, when God has provided us with an infinitely better hiding place in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God of life, thank you so much that our true life, our true lives are hidden with Christ in God, such that our real life is Jesus, and that when he appears, then we too will appear with him and share his glory. Oh God, by the enabling power of your Holy Spirit, help us therefore to know who we truly are. Help us to know that it is who we truly are in Jesus Christ and not this false imposter eye of sin that is the real us. Help us therefore to live as those whose lives are safeguarded and kept for us in the safest place possible, in Jesus Christ. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.